We're so blessed, Brother Jeshua and Sister Glory. We love them. Amen. I want to tell you that. Amen. I want the Lord to minister. Amen. While they're here, I don't want them to just be here. I want them to feel part of the team. Not only that, but I want you to feel the love and the grace of God's people. Amen. I want to help them, don't you? Amen. I want to help Brother and Sister Garza. Amen. That God would touch. Amen. We're so thankful for the blessings of the word of the Lord today. And my heart is just so, so full today. And I want to say thank you, men that are sacrificing, working up here. And I hadn't looked yet because I promised I wouldn't. And they're going to let it be a surprise. So we're excited to one day just open that door and look and see what all these men have worked very hard to do. Thank you so much for taking lead. Amen. We got a lot to do, a lot of things that needs to happen. Amen. We're ready for it to do it. Amen. 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. We'll give you time to open your Bible to 2 Samuel, 23rd chapter, verses 8 through 17. In this passage of scriptures, we're going to be talking about David's mighty men. And I must honor the word of the Lord today. I heard this taught at camp that I just came from. And from my handwritten notes that I took, I want to share with you tonight. This is not something that that I have originally gotten, but it's something that the Lord began to impress me. Well, Brother Robert Nix was teaching. I said, I got to teach this to our congregation. And I felt the Lord impress me. Amen. I prayed about it, and all the way home, I drove, and it kept on going through my mind. Then when I got here in prayer, I felt the same thing. So I can't get it off of me till I deliver it. Amen. So we're going to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verses 8 through 17. These be the names of the mighty men who David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief amongst the captains. The same was Adino the Izanite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel was going away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. The spoil there is all the things that were left by the enemy. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines and wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was there in a hold. The garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. It is not this blood of these men that went in jeopardy of their lives. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless your word, Jesus. Help us tonight to hear and apply what your word says. Somebody say, amen. You may be seated tonight. David was the king of the United Kingdom of Israel for 40 years. His reign is marked by several different achievements, a lot of military conquests that David made. He expanded Israel's territory. He secured his borders through many successful military campaigns. David also was known for his political unification, united the tribes of Israel, creating a strong centralized monarchy where David was the king. But David had something more than that that has always intrigued my heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. 1 Samuel 13, 14, Acts the 13th chapter, verse 22 begins to say he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. Oh, it really, I love the story when David went got the ark back and brought the ark of the covenant to Jerusalem and established Jerusalem as the very heart of Israel, the heart of their worship. I want to tell us tonight in this house, amen, I want to be a man after God's heart. Amen. It ought to be your ultimate desire tonight to be somebody after God's heart. I want to be after God's heart. We have read tonight about David's mighty men known as the three. And we also know there was other mighty men called the 30. But these three were the top of those 30. They were an elite group of warriors who served King David with extraordinary bravery and skill. They were common men. But yet, if you looked at these men, there was something about them. They were not just average. After they were taken and skilled and trained, these men were nobody at first, but they were skilled and trained, and they developed something. They were more than just, like I said, common warriors. If you would put the Green Beret, you would put the paratroopers, you put all the toughest men, the Navy SEALs together in that individual. They were the commandos of David's army, just three of them. These three top men were amazing at what they did. We read about some of it. But we find that these elite warriors, mighty men, the Tachamite, Eleazar and Shammah, amen. And tonight it is amazing to look at their lives, to look at what they had on the inside. David was a man after God's heart. And these three men had something inside of them. They were after the heart of the king. Amen. They had loyalty. They had something, a commitment that made them step up and stand out. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you. I want to ask the question, how far will your commitment carry you? How far will your commitment carry you? Amen. We can't be half-hearted. We can't be part-time. But we need to be committed to the service of the Lord. We must be after God's heart. Somebody say amen. You know, the word commitment in the English is the state or quality of being dedicated to a certain cause. It reflects one's dedication, their devotion, their allegiance, their loyalty, their faithfulness. And folks, I want to be committed to the King of Kings. Overall, commitment is a fundamental aspect of achieving success and building trust in various aspects of life. You got to have a commitment. You got to have a commitment. But today there is a lack of commitment in our generation because our world is influenced by other things and agendas. Half-heartedly, they commit themselves to something. Half-heartedly are there after the things that really matter. But today, I want God to matter to me. We talked about it this morning. I want the good pleasures of God to be my pleasure. I want the joy of the Lord even to be my joy. I don't want to be in this just because I'm afraid to go to hell. But I want to be in this because I love God. I'm after God's heart. James said in the New Testament, be ye doers of the word and not just a hearer only. Because when you become a hearer only, you deceive your own selves. Self-deception comes, but not being a doer of the word and just a hearer. The Bible says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that looks in a mirror and he sees something that needs to be done and he forgets easily to wipe his face or take care of something. And he goes his way and forgets what he needs to take care of. But the scripture says, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. That blows away once saved, always saved, doesn't it? You got to continue the law of liberty. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God is looking to bless his church, but he's looking for somebody to have a firm commitment, a sold out life. You see, the sold out cannot be bought out. What a sad deal. How many in this place are first generation apostolics? Let me see your hand. First generation. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're a first generationer. First generationer. Isn't it amazing? Amen. First generation. First generation. I'm thankful for that. I want to see this place full. I want to see it so great that there's first generation all over the building. Amen. These empty chairs to be full with first generationers. Amen. You may be seated. The power of a first generation person. They have experienced and discovered the truth. There's a greater sense of value and appreciation to a first generationer because they look at this as a treasure. They look at this as being a great thing. You see, a second generational person, they're hearers of the truth, and it's been passed to them. And many times appreciation is only bound in what they were told. So their appreciation is merely just a reflection, second generation. Third generation and so forth. Amen. Value is only caught, so to speak, but it's easily tossed aside and lost and easily laid down. You see, the more generational people become, the less value the real is. But I've asked God, I'm five generations of this, but I asked God, burn in me, amen, a first generation experience. Amen. I can't get to heaven off of my mama or my grandma. I got to have a commitment. I got to have a joy. I got to have a fire on the inside of me. If mama don't go, I got to go. If daddy don't go, I got to go. If white don't go, I got to go. Amen. When you're committed for life, you have no options. You should not have an option to backslide in your life. If the devil has put an emergency exit in your relationship with God, it's of the devil. Well, we're going to hit it again. You should not have a second option. Hey, God didn't put you in this ark for you to bail out. He put you in the ark for you to be saved. Amen. Oh, friend, God wants you to make it. And I feel this, I feel in hell, the hottest place in hell is reserved for people that reject the truth. People that throw this truth aside. People that have a spiritual garage sale. I think hell's going to be hotter for those. More severe for those that play with the truth, that never got a love for the truth. That never developed that commitment for God. And it's very dangerous if you're a child in this place or a young person. Amen. Raised in church for you. Amen. Oh, just to handle the truth and really don't love it. You need a commitment. Somebody say amen. We're talking about how far will your commitment carry you tonight. Oh, I know that Satan, the Bible says, will wear out the saints. And he's doing a good job of trying to wear us out. But you see, Satan's out with God. And I want to realize that God is on my side and God wants to help me. Amen. In the context, we know that satanic influence comes against to oppress and persecute the saints. The devil's not worried about the backslider. He's already got them. He's not worried about the sinner on the street. He's already got them. But his aim is to those that hold the truth of God. Those that know the truth. Those that walk with God. He's after you. He will distract you, disturb you. And if he could get your feelings to be involved to where they could get hurt. Hurt feelings. I want to just say this. Amen. Nobody's exempt from getting their feelings hurt. But the more we tell you, try to pastor a church. They love you one moment and they kick you the next. Man, But you know what? I'm so thankful for the love of God. And when the love of God is great, you better have more than just a thin skin. You better have a thick skin and say, God, I'm committed. I'm not going to let feelings begin to fool me. I'm not going to let hurt feelings begin to drive me to the place where I throw in the towel, that I turn my back on God. Amen. I am determined that I'm going to stay with Him. I'm determined that I'm going to live for God. Amen. There is no door out. There is no second place. Amen. God is still number one to me. Ephesians said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand in this evil hour. To stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The devil's a wild thing, but that word wiles is the divisiveness of the enemy. Boy, he does a good work, don't he? He'll make you think God is against you. Your wife is against you. Your mama's against you. He'll make you think your brother is against you. He'll make you think the church is against you. He'll make you think when the preacher stands up, the preacher, he's against you. Amen. Oh, friend, I come to this pulpit because I said after God's heart, who's for you tonight? God is still for us. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand. I want to just remind you, you can overcome when you learn to stand. You can be victorious. You can walk in the Spirit. Amen. Commitment. How far will your commitment carry you? We can learn something from David's three mighty men and all the mighty men. But the first three that I want to talk to you about is the first one, the top three mighty men. Again, they were they had it together. Commandos, they were all the strong agents of our military combining just these men. Now, they were strong. They were tough. Josheb, the first one, the Bible says he was the chief of the captains, and he was credited with killing 800 men in one battle with one spear. Now, I want you to notice he didn't have a gun. He didn't have a machine gun. He didn't have an army tank, and he didn't have a bomb. He didn't have a handful of grenades. He didn't have a drone. He didn't have backup. He had a backbone. He had commitment. Amen. Give me one of those empty mic stands, Brother Zach. Amen. A long one, that'll be fine. Amen. He had a spear. I want you to think, it wasn't a sword. See, a sword, you had to slash, and you had to cut your enemy and slice at them. But I want you to pretend that this is a big old spear. And several years ago, I bought Isaac a spear. And it's sharp. You kill a pig with it. It's how strong it is. And I want you to think about this man, 800 people in one setting. He took out with a spear. In order, well, yeah, Brother Zach, in order for me to take out somebody, just one man, with a spear, you got to thrust that spear. You got to take that spear and put some behind it. And you better put it in the right place. Can you imagine 800 people coming against one man at one time in one battle, and all he had was one spear? He was a mighty man. He knew how to use his weapon. Amen. He had a commitment, Brother Zach. Amen. That he would use that spear. I want to talk to us about your commitment. Amen. You need a commitment in this hour to be one that will have a backbone to stand when everything is coming against you from every direction. God is looking for mighty men and women that will live for Him with a commitment. Some of the strongest people that I've ever found are those that are not popular and loud, but the people that know how to pray, people that know how to bow their face before the Almighty God, and people that know how to let God live and work. And they were simply people after God's heart. Amen. 800. From a human standpoint, this man's strength and skill were superb. It exemplifies commitment and strength. All why? Honor his king David, but we want to talk about our King Jesus. The odds were stacked against him, but folks, what would you do for your king? What kind of commitment do you have for your king? Come on. What kind of backbone do you have in this hour for the King of Kings? Amen. This mighty man was mighty because it was in honor to his king. Today I want to tell you, amen, oh, what would I do to get Sister Catherine Woodard back? Amen. Somebody that know how to pray. Amen. She was a mighty person for God. All because she knew how to stand. She knew how to fight the fight of faith. She knew how to walk with God. And she knew how to call on God because she was after God's heart. The second mighty man was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, however you pronounce it. He stood his ground and fought the Philistines until his hand grew so attached to the sword. I want you to think about it. No one, I told somebody one time that you know had to be a tough man if his daddy was named Dodo. Can you imagine all your life your daddy's a Dodo? But he was a tough man. He had his mind made up. And through that commitment, he brought a great victory. You know, the Philistines were not just a bunch of men that just, you know, just meandering around. They were fighting machines. I want you to get the picture that these were fighting machines that came against this mighty man. And he was so involved in the battle that his hand cleaved to the sword. To when they got through, after everybody's laying on the ground dead because of his fight, he had to pry his fingers off the handle of the sword. Amen. I want to get a grip on the sword, don't you? I want that sword to be in my life. Amen. I want a good grip on the things of God. Why? Because of my king. Amen. Oh, why did this man, why did he do that? Because he had a king that he was loyal to. Why are you living the way you do? It ought to be because of the king in my life. How far will your commitment take you? Psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I want the word to be in my heart. I want the word to be part of my life. I want a grip on it. Man, commitment. You better have a grip. The third man, Shammah, the son of Agi. Or Agi. How would you like your dad to be called an Agi? Shammah. The Bible says he took a stand in a field of lentils. And he defended it from the Philistines. Again, the Philistines were not just a bunch of men that were out there with rubber bands. These were fighting machines, warriors. They were there to take the life. But he defended a field of lentils. Now, we're not going to ask the adults that knows what lentils mean. I want to ask the younger, some teenagers, what are lentils? Anybody know what lentils are? Okay, Olivia. Yeah. Amen. Just a field of peas. He defended in a field of peas. Why? Peas are just a small thing. Just a small thing. Why in the world is peas so significant? Well, I want to tell you, I knew a man that said this. He said every time a storm would come, his daddy said, let's go to the pea patch. Well, why? They didn't have a storm shelter. He said, because those peas that saved our life many years when there was a drought, we had peas. Amen. That kept us. I'm talking about the food part. And he said they would go to that because the peas that saved them. Amen. I want to tell you, saint of God, the significance of survival was these little small things. There's some people that think, oh, I got to have a big job in the church. I got to have a big position. I got to be known or seen. No, it's the little things that we need to stand for. The little things in the kingdom of God that matter. Boy, a lot of times people look at when a pastor is beginning to lay the law down. Brother Crosswhite, that's petty. Why do we have to pray before service like we do? Why do we have to do certain things, live a certain way? Why is all these don't do's, don't do's, don't do's. Why is there such a fence and a line drawn? Amen. Oh, why you're always hounding on that? I want to tell you, because the little things matter. Little foxes spoil the vine. A little leaven will mess up the whole thing. Little root called bitterness springing up defiles. Sister Becky's here. I remember that when your septic system was messed up. And her daddy went and began to look for the cause of it. And when they finally came to that line and they dug and removed what was causing the blockage, a little fiber of a root found its way in a crack in that line. And whenever they pulled it out, it was a big old plug of roots that was just started by just a little fiber of a root that found its way in that stuff that was flowing through that line and began to clog it up. I want to tell you, little things will clog your life up. Amen. But friend, you need to step with the things of God. The little things for God matters. Amen. That's the reason why the devil knows if he can get some little things against the little things of God, amen, his little things will begin to get your attention. He causes a major problem by little things. You better take care of the little things in your life. You better get something in your heart and a commitment that says, God, amen, if it matters to you, it matters to me. Well, you know, minor things convert themselves into major things very quickly. Little commitment will get you little victory. These three mighty men, David was at the cave of Adullam. Think with me. The Philistine military encamped in the valley, pitched against him. It was there that David was in a hold. And there was a garrison of Philistines that were there camped in Bethlehem. And here's David in a cave. David knew that the Philistines were at his home place in the city that he loved. They were there, these wicked, evil, perverted men that would take advantage of their children and their wives while they were gone. They were there, a garrison of Philistines. And David spoke out. Maybe he just whispered it. Maybe he just said it, the desire of his heart. He said, oh, it's kind of like anybody, man, I could just get a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem that's by the gate. You know what these three mighty men did? Those three mighty men didn't have to be told the second time. Both or all three of them jumped up and went and broke through the garrison in Bethlehem. And went to the well and got their king a bucket of the water from the well in Bethlehem. And they brought it back to him. I want you to think about the carefulness. I need three of you young men to run up here very carefully. Come on, two more. One more. Run up here. If we had a bucket with water in it, and you had to take it, and you had to fight your way out with a sword, and you had precious water in there. You had to have a plan and a made-up mind and a commitment. We got to get this water back. We can't let it spill out. The enemy's saying, what in the world are they doing? They just drew a bucket of water. I want y'all to get a hold of that bucket. One of you got the bucket, and y'all got to get a plan to get that bucket back to the king. Can you imagine, amen, that they had to say, hey, amen, we got to take care of this. We got to get it back. The king wanted a drink. He did not command them. He didn't demand them. He just said it in a matter of wishful thinking. I would that I had a drink right now from the well of Bethlehem. Kind of like you said, man, I wish I could go sit at my mama's table and have some homemade biscuits. These three men jumped out and ran quickly. And endured and took a risk. They risked their own lives only to bring the bucket back and hand it to the king. And the king looked at them like, you know, I can't drink this because you risked your lives. There was bloodshed. And he offered it out to his king, the Lord God Almighty. I want to tell you, amen, I want to have that kind of commitment that says, God, I'm willing to risk. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And how far will your commitment carry you? Amen. Oh, friend, there's some, their commitment is just in what they'll do in front of people. Amen. Oh, they'll make a commitment in front of people, but they don't carry it out. God is looking for somebody to have a boldness, a backbone, a commitment that says, regardless if I have an audience, regardless if I have a crowd, God, I'm going to live for you. Why would these three top military men risk their life and go to a certain well? You know, there's other waters around them. They could have said, you know, we could go get water from that creek back there. But they didn't. They went to the well that David talked about. All because it was for their king. The demands and the desires of their king was their desire. It was their pleasure to do his good pleasure. They loved their king. My question again is, how far will your commitment carry you? Are we like that for Jesus Christ? Are we listening to his whisper? Or does God have to be loud to you constantly? Does God have to shake you? Does God have to take you to a near life and death situation to get your attention? Or can God tonight, with that still small voice, speak to your heart and you have a willingness to say, yes, God? You know, tonight, only thing it takes is just a nudge from the master. Amen. Oh, and there's a scripture said about being guided with his eye. Can God guide you with his eye? Are you that sensitive to your king? Amen. Are you that committed to the King of Kings? Amen. Or are you just a good starter, but you're not a good finisher? God is looking for somebody to take that and run with it, friend, and be after his heart. Something that'll keep you in the storm. Something that'll keep you in the trial, regardless of the struggles and problems and temptations. I am committed to God. I am sold out. I am not for sale. I will not give in. I will not bow. Amen. Are you willing to serve? Are small things of God important, significant? And I mentioned this morning, but I got to mention again. Sometimes as a pastor, I see gray areas that I don't want to ever get in. Things that are maybe wrong areas. Don't ever, if you know, if you may not, I said this one, we'll say it again. We need to quit listening to Google theology. Well, everybody has an opinion. Their opinion stinks. His opinion counts. His spirit counts. There are people today who will get online and argue about everything. And the devils are good at masking the truth. He disguises and deceives himself. It deceives others by disguising as an angel of light. You know, you don't have to do all that. That's just what he wants. But the Holy Ghost has used conviction these things for many years. Why tear down a fence when it had a purpose? For the book of preached a message, why tear down a fence? You better know its purpose. You better know its reason. Amen. It was there for a purpose. Don't ever tear down something that is standing in your life that you think, oh, well, it don't matter. Amen. Oh, it has to matter. Somebody put a post there. Somebody begin to stretch some wire there. Somebody put an ancient marker there. You need to love the truth and love the God of truth. Be a man or a woman after God's heart. Does somebody have to hint to you, ask you, point things out to get you to take ownership? How about your commitment? How far will your commitment take you? It's a shameful thing when you had to tell people. I can remember one time, there was a certain individual that proclaimed himself to be a preacher, but he liked to lean against the wall and watch everybody else work. And one time I said, hey man, why don't you come and help me? And it offended him. Another man, he came to me, and he said, Brother Crosswhite, I want to preach. I said, well, I sure need help. I said, man, I want you to come here early and help me make sure all the toilets are clean on Sunday morning. Make sure the lights on, air conditioner's ready. And he got offended and never came back. 20 years later, he showed up here. And he said, you know the reason why I left? Because you told me I had to clean toilets. And I said, be there early and help me get air. I remember that day, sir. And he looked at me and he got red in his face. And I mean, I want to tell you, saint of God, you got to be willing to serve the King. Amen. It matters to God. Amen. It matters to the things of God. Does somebody have to hint to you constantly? What about a piece of paper in the parking lot? What about a leaky faucet outside? What about a chair that is messed up in the sanctuary? Do you have to go to the pastor and say, constantly, of course, well, there's a chair that's messed up. Do you think I need to replace it or not? Duh. Of course, when I feel the spirit of prayer, do you think I need to pray? Duh. Come on. When you love your King and your kingdom, the kingdom of God, amen, something don't have to be, amen, all the time. Just point it out and say, would you do? Nobody has to beg you to do something. Only thing they did, the three mighty men, when they heard the King said, probably just in a whisper, man, I would to the Lord that I had a drink for the well by the gate of Bethlehem. Those men said, hey, we're going. God, whatever you want to do. You want to do something big for God? Amen. You have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying and the little things. Amen. Little things matter to Him. Amen. Oh, friend, take ownership. There's plenty to do. Amen. Now I need 10 young men. I tell you, 5 young men, 5 young ladies. Come on up, 5 young men. 5 young ladies. There we go. Very good. How many we got? There we go. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Watch this. Do you know that most of the work of a church is done, 80% of work is done by 20% of people? Boy, it's quiet. So, you know what? There's 10 people up here. Sister Becky, how many people do I need to move off the platform to represent 20%? I need to move 8 of them off to keep the 20 up here, right? Okay, y'all go. Nina, stay. Ashton, stay. Out of all those people, this is how much percentage out of those 10 that does all the work of this church. 80% of the work is done by 20%. If there were 10 people, 2 people do the work. And a lot of times we know Ashton does it. We know Nina does it. So we'll just leave it to Ashton's doing that. And we just let him do it. Oh, we know that Sister Butler, you know, she's a ladies director. She's going to do it. We know that Sister Savala comes here on a Saturday and cleans the church. We're just going to let her do it. She's an evangelist wife. Her husband's on the field preaching. What an honor for her to come to the house of God. And she's done it from day one since they've been here. And some of you don't even know where the vacuum cleaners are at. Some of you don't even know where things are at in the church because, amen, you don't even think. Amen, it's not even a thing to you. Amen, somebody has to come to you and ask you, oh, Nina, would you mind, Nina? We really need some help. And there are some people have all that. So, oh, yeah, help. But when it comes to it, they're not there. God is looking for those that will stand, those that will be committed. And we're not just talking back just to the work of this congregation, this local property, and the local church, but to the kingdom of God. Amen. Somebody needs to have a commitment for the things of God. We talk about the spiritual commitment. We talked about a physical commitment. But we want to talk about your loyalty to the things of God. I love that song. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I'm going to stand on the things of God. Amen. On this rock, He built the church. Amen. Come on, the rock we better have in our life. You better have a rock foundation. A solid commitment.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mighty men, known by their commitment to their King. It matters what you do for him. Everything counts. Every soul matters. When a guest walks in this place, they walk in here. Amen. Whose job it is to reach to them? Whose job? Man, you ought to say, my job. Amen. When somebody walks in this place that is brand new, amen, it's your job to reach to them and to love them and do more than just shake their hands and say, we're glad you're here. But you need to do your best to acquaint yourself, to make them feel hospitality. I thank God for holy hospitality. People that have been getting, boy, it's got quiet in here. I must be stepping on toes or something. I must be in pastor tonight. I must be shearing some wool off of somebody. Amen. Because tonight in this place, I want the message to be, how far will your commitment carry you? Are you just a person that just says it and does a lot of talk and a lot of muffler visits with your mouth, but you're not putting your heart in it? I told you, amen, I heard this at a camp meeting just the other day. Amen. And the Lord said, I need to teach that to my church. Wow. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commitment. 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 How far will your commitment carry you? How far will it carry you? I want to please Jesus about you. On that great day, Sister Carmen, the Lord's going to look at you and he'd say, oh, you sang so beautifully. Oh, you were so awesome when you hit that note. You sang that song. No, 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 no. God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You served me well. You kept the faith. You held on. You stood against family. You stood against opposition, against temptation, against the storm. And you was after my heart. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Would you lift your hands right now to talk to Jesus? God is looking for commitment. God is looking for those that, amen, their commitment would be solid. Amen. Not just a part-time deal. Not just a weekend warrior. Amen. But somebody that will have a daily walk and a daily relationship with God. Amen. Somebody that will be real and genuine. Amen. Somebody that will not have a partial fake paper type heart. Amen. A plastic life. But somebody that would be really on fire for God. That would give themselves, give their life, give their devotion, and give themselves to the things of God. God is looking for mighty men, mighty women. God's looking for soldiers to train, people that he could use. I'm telling you, the Philistines, the enemy's coming in against children. Amen. Against people. They're coming against young people. They're coming against families, married couples. They're coming against our elders. On every angle, the Philistines are wanting to come in. And the Philistines are just not anything. They're people that were there to take it. They will abuse your children. They would bring their filthiness, their disgracefulness. They're there to steal carnality of the world. Steal everything pure and taint it, corrupt it. God's looking for an army. God's looking for mighty men. People that don't have to have recognition. People that don't have to have accolades and medals and trophies. But somebody that has a desire and a heart after your King. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Would you stand? Would you stand? Amen. The Lord's making that appeal tonight. He's looking for somebody. Amen. Amen. He's not here with a draft tonight. He's here looking for somebody that would just say, God, I'm ready. Amen. God's not trying to draft.
amen, to force you or push you. But here the master's trying to lead somebody. Amen, the master's trying to bend somebody. Amen, oh, somebody take up that cross and follow me. Somebody that take up that commitment and say, God, whatever it is, I want to do your will. Amen. Sing, Sister Crosswhite. Hallelujah. Yes to God tonight. He's ready to use your life. He's ready to work through you. Yes. Yes to your plan, oh God. Yes to your good pleasure.
Yes, your majesty. We bow down before you, King of kings. We are your servants and we need.
Come on, can you press your way to the Lord right now? Somebody needs to make a commitment to the Lord tonight. Come on, God's reaching. He's reaching. Come on, he's reaching, but he wants you to make that step tonight. Yes.
Yes, your majesty.
Yes. Come on, somebody needs to sell out to the King of God, King of kings, to the kingdom of God.
We bow down before you, King of kings. We are your servants and we need your direction in our lives. And we are willing to be what you'd have us be. Yes, your majesty.
Yes means
from the
yes to God.
Of my heart,
come on, God's waiting for that surrender.
Of my soul, yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. Yes, Lord.
Heart to heart with God, just the latter part of the service today. It does matter. Amen. If you feel led to pray with somebody, they're not there to squeeze you. Amen. They're there to just help you. Amen. Would you obey the Holy Ghost, the nudge of God right now? moment, somebody talk to the Master. Yes, I want your will to be done. I want your ways to be done, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, to your purpose, Jesus. Oh, it matters. You matter to the Lord. You matter. You matter. You matter to the King.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, does the King matter to you?
I'll say yes, Lord.
From the bottom of my heart, Jesus.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord.
Oh, somebody needs to say yes to God.
Completely.
Sell out tonight. Sell out tonight.
Yes,
sell
Lord.
Out.
Yes,
sell
Lord.
Out that commitment.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes.
Yes to God. Yes, Jesus. I want your
yes,
spirit.
Lord.
I want the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart,
all of me, Jesus,
to the depths of my soul. Oh, yes, Lord,
completely, yes,
completely, yes. My soul says yes.
All of me, Jesus,
I say yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths. bottom of my heart, to the depths of my soul, I'll serve you in all that I do. My soul serves you, and I'll say, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. From the bottom
to God, that yes.